Out of bed, out the window. Down the tree, over the wall. Under the bridge, around the lake. Between the rocks, through the woods. Up Spook Hill.
Hello, and welcome to Deep in Bear Country, a Berenstain Bearcast. I'm your host, Phil Gonzalez, and today we are going deep, deep, deep back into the dreamland. Small Bears Dreamland. Now, for those of you who haven't been listening to the show and are diving in with this episode, that's weird, but also, let's catch up on what the Dreamland is. Now, we first explored the Dreamland in the book Inside, Outside, Upside Down, and it was a bit of a revelation, even to me, to discover that these books, the beginning books for beginners, these are the books that don't take place in the Berenstain Bear timeline proper. They're a little more bizarre, a little more out there, a little more esoteric. It was strange to discover as we were going that these books don't take place in any kind of real universe. They take place inside the dreams of our protagonist, Small Bear. They represent his anxieties, his fears, the questions he has about the world, about his parents, about his place in his own family. And we've seen a somewhat of a development of his psyche as we go along. Now, right now, over the course of all the books, we've seen Small Bear go from being a tag-along to his father to being something of a leader in his family as he's taken on more responsibility and become a scout leader, is trying to balance out the tensions between his parents and find his place in the family, in the treehouse, and in bear country in general. And today's books, I know I haven't even named them yet. Today's books, Bears in the Night and C is for Clown, now known as the Berenstain's C book, are a wonderful summation of where Small Bear is right now. You may have Bears in the Night in your own personal collection. It's something of a popular book. It's very simple. The storyline is almost non-existent. Not very much happens, but there is a wealth of detail about what is going on inside the mind of Small Bear. Now, keep in mind, this is a dream book. It takes place in Small Bear's very, very strange little bear head and set entirely at night. It begins in the bear's treehouse. All that happens is it's a simple journey out the treehouse window, down the treehouse, across the bridge, up Spook Hill. There's a scary thing at the top of Spook Hill. It's just an owl. Back down Spook Hill, back across the bridge, back up into the treehouse, and into bed. Now, this seems like not much. Seems like something that could happen to Small Bear in real life, but here's the deal. In this bed, and it's the first thing you see in this book, there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 bear cubs. Now, this is definitely the treehouse of the bear family. As you see at the very end of the book, Mama Bear is downstairs in her chair, not noticing that anything is going on upstairs. So, who are these 7 bears? Who do they look like? Well, let's take a look. The first one you see looks like Small Bear. That is definitely Small Bear. The second one looks like Small Bear. Third one, Small Bear. Fourth, fifth, sixth, and seventh, they're all Small Bear. Small Bear is having a dream, and in his dream, there are 7 bears in his bed. They're all himself, because that is the only thing he can actually imagine in his head. Why would he be dreaming about many other bears? Well, let me think. His bed is crowded, crowded with bears his age. He gets forced out of bed because of a scary sound. I'm going to posit a guess. I'm going to say this book represents a lot of the tension and fear Small Bear is feeling, and that part of that tension and fear is stemming from the fact that he can detect a change is coming. And that change is crowding his bed, his sanctuary, his bedroom. Something is going to displace him. Something is coming. In the back of his head, he knows that something is coming that is large and frightening and is going to maybe take his place. Siblings. A sibling? Perhaps. Small Bear doesn't know anything about any siblings coming his way, but somewhere in the back of his mind, he knows that something is going on in this family, and it is causing him a lot of anxiety, enough anxiety to push him out of his bed in the middle of the night, out the window of his own house, and down a tree. And who is following him? Who is following him but all these other bears, 6 other small bears? He goes down a tree, he goes over a wall, he goes under a bridge, he goes around a lake, he goes between 2 rocks, he goes through the woods, and he goes up Spook Hill. And at the top of the Spook Hill is a terrifying bird that chases him back down. And it chases him down Spook Hill, through the woods, between the rocks, under the bridge, over the wall, up the tree, in the window, and back into bed with those 6 other bears. 7 little bears. They're all Small Bear. That's a lot. That's a lot for a kid to keep in his head. There's a baby coming. There's a baby coming to the bear family. Spoiler alert, I know, but there's a baby coming. No one has told this to Small Bear yet. But if you look at Mama Bear on the last page of this book, She's sitting in her rocking chair, sewing something. What is she sewing? It looks like a little tiny blanket. Here's the thing about having kids. You can keep as many secrets as you want from kids. But you know what? You're not keeping any secrets at all. They know. They know something is going on. Small Bear knows something is going on, and it is something momentous. And it's going to directly affect him, it's going to directly affect his place in the family, and it's going to directly affect his bed. And that is so important. The bed of Small Bear is going to get crowded. It's going to get too small for him. It's going to push him out of the bed and into a new place. And that place is scary. It's far away from where he's comfortable. And there are things waiting for it that are going to be terrifying. And you know what that's called? That's called life, kid. That's what happens in life. You get scared. You have to face up to things. Sometimes you have to run away, but you can never run too far. And what's going to happen? You're always going to come back home. That's right. You're going to get to the top of Spook Hill sometimes in your life. And at the top of Spook Hill is going to be something you did not expect. And when you are done, you always end up back home. Not necessarily where you wanted to be, but you know what's great about being at home? It's a little safe. It's a little safer than it was before. Because you've seen the world out there, Small Bear. It's kind of big and scary. I also wanted to point out another thing. Small Bear goes between two stones. They don't give these much attention, but these are two standing stones that we've never seen before. Small Bear's in the dreamland. These stones had to have been put there by someone. H.P. Lovecraft used the word cyclopean a lot. He used it 46 times over the course of his writing career. And what cyclopean means is, cyclopean architecture is architecture that is comprised of stones that are unworked and roughly fitted together. You usually think of them as enormous, enormous stones, limestone boulders just crammed together. There's two standing stones not far from Small Bear's house, and Small Bear travels between them. I want to hazard a guess that these standing stones represent a doorway in the Dreamlands. Now, the woods that Small Bear traverses are not necessarily his woods, and they're not necessarily the woods in his mind, in the mind of anyone in Bear Country. These woods may connect Bear Country to other fictional Dreamlands. Will we be going there soon? I don't know yet. But keep in mind those two standing stones. Perhaps Small Bear should not have ventured between them. Perhaps they reveal things he did not wish to know. But on to the next dream. And I'm going to assume this dream follows right on the heels of Bears in the Night because it is intimately tied in with what Small Bear is going through. It is called C is for Clown, a circus of C words. Very innocuous to look at. In this book, it starts off with Small Bear. He is the ringmaster of a circus. A one-ring circus. He's dressed in red. He has a whip. He has a hat. And he introduces us to a clown. It's just a clown. It's called Clarence. Clarence the clown, and he stands on a box. But who is this clown, really? Clarence the clown, obviously, because it starts with C. But if you look at this bear closely, you realize this is just Papa Bear. This is our own Papa Bear done up like a clown. And the whole point of this book is that Clarence Clown, Papa Bear in makeup, has to balance everything on his shoulders. Two cats carrying canes, collies carrying clubs, clowns carrying cake. Clarence the clown has to carry all this stuff on his shoulders. Papa Bear has to bear this burden. And Small Bear feels, to one degree or another, that the burden is kind of his fault. He's putting these things on his papa. And Papa's getting shaky. But he is carrying it all. He is burdening that weight until Caroline Catfish comes in. Now, Caroline Catfish is an enormous catfish, bigger than the whole mess all put together. Small Bear is having another anxiety dream, and this one is about his papa and his mama. His papa, he sees as carrying the burden of the family, because that's the way papa presents himself, and that's the way a small boy is going to see a papa who's not too bright. Everything's kind of a little shaky on his shoulders, but he's doing it. He's doing it with brute strength. But a large female figure appears and plops down right on top of him. Now, Small Bear has noticed that mama's, and we're going to get into this in the future, but Small Bear has noticed some changes in Mama. All right? He doesn't really know what's different, but he knows something is different. A large, round female figure. In the back of his mind, I think Small Bear knows that Mama Bear is pregnant. And she lands on top of this whole mess, and Papa Bear does not fall. Papa Bear is shouldering the burden of all these things until Clara Canary shows up. Tiny. Female. A small, tiny, itsy-bitsy, smaller-than-small-bear female lands on top of Caroline Catfish, and the whole thing crashes to the ground. Clarence Clown cannot carry all these things himself. And the last image we see is Clarence Clown crawling out from underneath the collies and the cats, the cows and the catfish, and Small Bear bowing to him respectfully. Clarence Clown cannot shoulder this entire burden himself, but he's fine with that. And I think that's a realization that Small Bear comes to. In the first book, we saw Small Bear struggling with the idea that he was about to be displaced, that he was about to have to grow up a little bit, explore the world outside the comfort of his own room, his own home, his own family, and that there's going to be things out there that scare him and send him scuttling back. He's just a child. He's not ready to grow up. He's not ready to venture out just yet, but he knows that it is a possibility in the future, and it's because something is going to force him out of his bed. He is going to be sharing his bed, his childhood home, his childhood room, with another presence. In his dream, it's six other presences, but he doesn't know. It all seems uncountable, innumerable, overwhelming to a small child. In Sea is for Clown, we see Small Bear struggling with his perception of his father as someone who has to shoulder the burden of everything that comes his way and who does so with a smile but isn't capable of holding everything. And at the top of that pile is a pregnant mama. Small Bear doesn't know it, but he knows that pregnant mama is going to be a huge burden on his family. At least in his Small Bear mind, he believes that. Remember, this is a child. This is not the truth of what is happening. This is a child's perception. He knows it is scary and large, and he is afraid for his papa. And then the smallest little living creature lands on top and knocks the whole pile down to the ground. What this dream is about is Small Bear being afraid that the introduction of a new family member is going to knock everything to the ground with Papa at the bottom. It is going to upset the entire apple cart. But in the end, Papa is going to crawl out from under it triumphant. He is going to survive. Small Bear is going to survive. Mama is going to survive. It is simply going to create disorder in the family. And ask anyone, a small child's biggest fear is that disorder will be thrown at the family. Two books, Bears in the Night, Sea is for Clown, now known as the Berenstain Sea Book. A look inside the mind of a small bear. Where are we headed? We're headed to the introduction of a character. We are barreling towards the introduction of a new character. In a number of weeks, we are going to meet a new member of the bear family. I hope you guys are all ready, because it is going to not only shake things up, it is going to completely restructure the publishing schedule of the Berenstains themselves. It's going to restructure the look and feel of the books. It is going to send us all careening in a new narrative direction, filled with new characters, new continuity, new locations. We're going deeper into bear country, and we're going both ways. We're going into the heads of the characters, and we're going into the land itself. I'm excited. We are at the crest of a hill, and we are about to plummet downwards. Small Bear is taking us there. He is our linchpin. He is what is going to hold it all together. But soon, that linchpin is going to be knocked aside. It is going to have to share space with another pin. I hope you're excited about meeting her, everyone. I hope you're excited about coming along with me on this exciting journey into bear country. Thank you so much for listening. Again, you can find us on iTunes. Please rate and review us. You can find us on Stitcher. You can find us on Facebook. You can find us on Twitter. We'd love to hear from you. I am your host, Phil Gonzalez. Please join us next time as we go deep in bear country.